life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zobiaker.
Well, hello and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. And for those of us with us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show is more listeners' questions, and if you would like to, if you would like to send us some questions prior to a show, then we will answer them, ask them to put them to Spirit Guide and ask them your questions for you on the shows. You can actually compile a whole show for yourself if you like. That would be absolutely fine as well. To do with life, the universe and everything, as usual, the mechanics of the universe and of our physical life, then anything that's bothering you that you think anybody would and everybody would get some benefit from, and that's what this show is about. We don't, you know, sort of exclude people with fancy names and elevated speaking. It has to be simple. For everybody to understand, because spirit is for everybody. If you'd like to participate and call us on during the course of the show, like I say, it's not a readings type of situation, but anything to do with the metaphysical world, then you can ask Spirit Gregory yourself. It's toll free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222. And I'll hand you over to Mick.
Well, hi. I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST. That's 6 p.m. GMT. We have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, which is midnight GMT. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, please do go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium. And this means I'm a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom. And as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I won't know of anything that happens until they bring me back. And that is how it should always be in this kind of communication process, because we wouldn't want my thoughts and feelings from my mind getting in the way of the spirit contact. Bye for now.
But you know,
I only just managed to
only
do
just
that.
I know.
My eyelids are going. I'm waving in and out of consciousness.
I know. That's what I was just thinking.
Barely able to hold it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well, don't let us keep you here.
No, please. Thank you.
So, Nick's going to go off now.
I do.
And that brings me Gregory Hay. And Gregory, Spirit Gregory, was asked before his physical life, actually, in the early 1700s, if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group called the White Cloud Group, who are going to be formed to help the people of the Earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group want us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, basically, and then hopefully they can aid us on the road to recovery and help us to raise the vibration of the planet with the knowledge and the new information that we have to hand. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they've got vast knowledge and insight. And what basically, if Gregory doesn't know the answer, then he gets fed the answer from the other people in the group who are with him, the experts. So they can explain situations that affect us here and our future, and where we've come from and where we're going to be going, the possibilities of life, and of course, those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life, because it affects them, you see. Our input and impact on this Earth affects those who want to come after us. So we have to, you know, we never say in the group that everything's going to be sunny and roses without our efforts. We do have to put input into it. So hopefully the spirit team are going to come through with some more information today. And I have some questions, more questions here from Little O and from some other people as well. And I will pick those up as we go along and let you know who they are. But for now, hello, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friends and everyone, hello and welcome. Greetings.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you may permit me,
okay,
I would wish to speak of a subject, first of all.
Okay, fantastic.
This is the subject of application. Application is what you resolve to create or to apply yourself to in order to create. So what is the field of application that you have in your side of life? The application of love is oftentimes something which only surfaces within your life at odd moments of the time that you're living it. Not necessarily something you are aware of all of the time. The application of love is, as it were, sometimes something which is already ingrained within you, so that you go through a certain set of circumstances or ritualistics which then create a certain kind of abundance. Perhaps it is the only way, for example, that you're able to raise the love vibration within you is to meditate. Or maybe the only way to do it is through some other method to do with humanity, to do with your revelation of self, and the way that you regard others, to do with your emotional fields, and those kinds of situations which then give rise to you applying the rendition, the energy of what you ascribe love to be. And for what purposes you do this are also something of the consciousness. Human beings calculate continuously in terms of how they may overcome this problem by giving this result. The application of your life, however you see it, however it is set, is something then which becomes applied to many different stratas of your life. If you wish to apply yourself in something, it means that you are either drawing upon your expertise in that area, or knowledge you have gone through, grown up with, been created in your life journey by your environment. How are you going to apply yourself truly and fully if you, in some respects, are a fractured being? Many people do not realize completely that they are fractured. They will deny it for as long as is possible, for as long as you can stave it off from the marauding hordes. In fact, it is, dear friends, when you want to really apply yourself, if it is that you are cornered in some kind of situation, you generally tend to apply yourself in a completely different way, sometimes out of character to your normal rationale. Maybe this application is something which happens to you physically. perhaps it is that your strengths are needed suddenly because of someone else in peril, or someone else being in a state of confusion, and you have the foresight, or you are given the foresight by your spirit, by that beautiful tree of energy coming from your higher self, your higher state, your spirit in the spirit world. This means to say, you apply yourself, create application, though not necessarily in a way which is, how can I say, calculated, in a way that is rationally brought about or thought through, first of all. So it's an impulse. Impulsive applications generally tend to be the kinds of ones, which are, in a sense, crystalline. They are beautiful, usually. They're the ones which drive you through inspiration, through inspirational thought, melodic inspiration. Situations of melody can come through either vocally or instrumentally, or part of both. May involve language and word structures, as well as the connotations of feeling and emotion. When one being applies themselves in this notion, they are raising the crescent vibration of their vital index, meaning that what they create is something of a loving way, which then echoes their spirit, creates a higher vibration, and then enables more beautified communication, both with our side of life and those on your side of life, there to be set free in the mind.
Can you tell me what prompted you to talk about that today?
People oftentimes are guided by misguided thoughts and feelings.
Their own misguided thoughts?
Sometimes their own, but oftentimes by the way of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
May even know that it's wrong, feel it's wrong within themselves, yet go ahead and do it anyway. Because it's an accepted practice or something that they can do, which will not go be something noticed out of the ordinary. Therefore, they can oftentimes, it will lead them to doing something which is actually out of their central core character. Therefore, if they're brought to task upon it, something that is false, it creates a much more difficult atmosphere within themselves. Application is centrally important. The way in which you apply your morality as a being, not purely as a spirit being, but as a physical being at all. Because much of it will rest upon your geniality. Much of it will, in fact, rest upon the actual DNA, the fabric of your genetics and your family group. And whether you have been instilled with that kind of morality which makes you feel the instant you have done something wrong. Other people, of course, will put their own slant upon those things that you've done wrong and will say, ah, well, it's only wrong if you are found out. And then that wrong would seem to be, shall I say, to wit with all beings, that they would then rise up and say, oh, yes, you did that well wrong. But in actual fact, what they did do was say the well wrongness of your activity was in being found out, not in actually what you did, because it's what we all do. And so this application, the reason why we wanted to raise it is because of the fact that so many people on your side of life are completely in disarray by those elected officials perhaps, and others whom perhaps even in, let's say it's not just to do with governments or something political, it's also to do with the ways in which companies are run, or something like that. So you have a crowd of people, a little herd of people, shall we say, who are running the company, who swan about in their expending large amounts of capital, of other people's money, just which is then made up as expenses to run it. But in actual fact, they shouldn't really be doing all of that, because it's only something to bolster the ego. It's only something to create the pathway, the gulf pathway between themselves and those who work for them. And in a sense, many people's money, many people's financial gain and understanding from that company is actually used to create that gulf, to create the disparity from one to the other, so they feel better about themselves and the misdeeds they are creating. You will often find that those largest will create the worst atrocities and excesses. For example, you have companies like the Esso situation in North Africa, on the west coast of Africa, and also in other parts of Africa, where they have actually grossly polluted their environment, those people's environment, and yet they will constantly walk away from it and say it isn't of their business, say that it is not of their making, when in actual fact, without them being there, the oil would not be polluting the landscape. And they would not be having no fish or whatever, you see. So the situation comes not just from a political standpoint, but actually is the reason why we brought it up is because it is the person. You cannot take anything away. You cannot say, oh, well, it was this company did it. It didn't. It was people that created it. So it is not the company that you have to take to task. It is the people who create the task, the misdeed. That is what you have to approach. Create that application of yourself. And in many respects, the reason why we raised it was because people must understand their duty of care to their application in their own life. So whenever it is, dear friends, that you see a wrong, you must stand up and say, this is wrong. Because if you do not, you are complicit in what they are creating, because you're seeing it and choosing to face the other way. Walk from the other side of the road, are you not?
Okay. I see. Yes, well, we like to pass the buck, and we're very good at convincing ourselves that we deserve either to have something or reasons not to, well, reasons to turn a blind eye, shall we say.
Yes, because it's difficult.
Yes, because it's difficult to take, absolutely. So I see what you mean, yeah.
It's about the pathway of responsibility, my dear friend.
And everybody that, like you say, if cornered, you apply yourself differently.
Yes.
It's a classic, isn't it, for people that, you know, who are supposed to be so honest.
Yes. That is true, absolutely true. But the point is, there is no point in all of this coming to the surface if it is then quickly and swiftly brushed under the table or under the carpet, under the rug. What you have to do is face it and put it right. Otherwise, you have a broken system. Otherwise, you have a situation where the anility of that group of people is going to melt. That situation is simply going to break down, because those people contacted within it, arranged within it, are simply going to lose their faith within it, their judgment within it, and their acknowledgement of its right pathway.
Well, this is why it's so wonderful that we have something like BBS Talk Radio, isn't it, really?
Yes, absolutely so.
So that we can air all of these sorts of things and discuss it, and the internet and everything. These days there's ample opportunities for communication and getting together with like-minded people, which is what you always sort of advocate, don't you?
Yes, and part of the reason, my dear Faith, is that it should not be for those on our side of life who have lived our life, and that we've done with it. And then here it is again, we have to come back and continue the dialogue, continue the communication, simply because it isn't being dealt with.
No, and you feel it's your duty of care.
Yes.
Because you helped create the, you know,
some of the anomalies.
Exactly, yes, in your lifetimes.
Yes.
Which is why that you're doing this as well, anyway.
That is absolutely
and
true.
And I'm sure many of us here now who are trying to do something will end up doing that. We all like to think we're going away on some fluffy planet somewhere. We'll have to wait for that, I think. We'll have to sort this one out first.
Yes, that is very true, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Feet on the ground.
Yes.
For now.
Firmly planted.
Yeah.
And not taking roots, though.
No, no. So if you'd like to join us with a question to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, then phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International caller, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. And if you could keep the question general and not too personal, like as in a readings type situation, because that's not really what he does on this program, although he does do one-to-one Akashic readings by phone or in person if you're in the UK. And you can find out about that on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Okay, right.
Yeah.
I have a question here from Flo. She says, some people talk about soul looking at creation of other things on a small level, playing with energy to create energy from small organisms to develop into life forms. This makes me think about creation of the Earth itself and life forms and an even bigger picture of planets and suns not in our eyes' reach, but further on. This is very interesting as I am exploring energy, vibration, sound and light to help others feel better and why it works. She says also nature's plants and herbs to help cure elements. It's all here, we just have to look for it. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely so. It is. Everything exists upon your planet to cure all. The problem is, for humanity, is destroying it faster than it can make itself abundantly clear. So this creates a problem in itself, does it not? As it is, as well with free energy, with many different kinds of energy releases that are possible purely by application, human beings may well create enough energy to power the entire planet. Just from the application, shall we say, the correct application of the energy of the sea. There's all that energy which is completely wasted. Thankfully, of course, there are those minds who are now at last realizing it. Not through any fault of their own, but just that it's taken a long time for them to understand and see the actual possibilities of the properties which exist therein. We can see also that the ways in which human beings suffer themselves through chemical reaction to other reactions created by chemical intrusion, by ingestion of chemicals, the wrong kinds of things, the wrong kinds of additives, the wrong kinds of salts and fats, and the wrong kinds of acids. All of these things add up to chemical intuition. So it's as though chemically you know if it is wrong because your body does not feel right. Chemically, you know if you have been poisoned, or you know that the way for you is not as you had thought it was, purely because of the kinds of pain you feel or that you suffer from. So it is, dear friends, that for many of you the road ahead is actually clear, but that it's just that you lack possibly the insight into understanding that clarity.
Well, we need to, if we're creating change, it requires an investment of time.
Yes.
Which is, I think, everybody's the biggest sort of like problem, really, because everybody's got to work so hard to even survive. It does require an investment of time to a certain extent, perhaps not as much as we think.
Yes.
That can be a good excuse as well, not to do anything, I guess.
Yes, absolutely, because it always seems too much effort.
Yes, because we always seem to find time for other things.
Yes, absolutely. As I say, my dear friend, and have said oftentimes, there is no need to take your eye away from what is truly needed. The protection of the rainforest should be uppermost. Therefore, the armies of the world should always be employed in that protection. This is something that isn't even on the table, not even coming to the minds of humanity. And yet, it's at 11 o'clock. You only have 1 hour left to resolve it. 1 hour to stop the criminals from deforestation on a complete and massive scale. Not only that, but for the wasting away of all of those precious species which actually are there to provide, in part, to provide the wellness with which you as physical beings need.
You know, I was thinking the other day, I was about the fact that maybe we could get the unemployed, voluntary, obviously, people who are unemployed to join a specific army, eco-army, to go and do that. To be trained to go and protect the rainforest. I'm sure there would be people that would absolutely jump at that, men and women.
Yes, and replant as well.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure
all of that.
There would be.
Yeah.
From all over the world, not, you know.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, that would be excellent, wouldn't it? I mean, they would.
Well,
you know,
the thing is, it is something that human beings can create.
Mm.
It's having the will. The Brazilian governments do not have the will to tackle it because they're complicit in it.
Mm.
They are, in some respects, must be receiving a monetary gain from it. Otherwise, they would not be allowing it.
Mm.
So therefore, it all comes down to what is the financial implication of what is being created. The point we're trying to make here is that with it kept in a pristine condition, like some parts of the world still are, you would see a doubling, trebling interest from pharmaceutical companies to explore these virgin forests to actually find the new species necessary to understand the chemicalization which is so bountiful upon your world in order to actually complete the mystery of tackling such things as cancers, such things as very rare diseases, and also, of course, the ongoing mutations of bacteria and viruses. These are all things, situations, details in human state's grasp. It is a matter of lack of will.
Mm. I'm sure these people wouldn't want, you know, an awful lot of money for doing it, as long as they were fed and clothed and, you know, that sort of looked after.
Yeah.
For the times that they did it, I'm sure that they would just, you know, be really grateful and glad to do it.
Yes.
I just think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes, absolutely so.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they don't get too radical.
This isn't about being anarchistic.
No, absolutely not.
It's actually about having the understanding
yes.
that you have to get up and do this.
Yes, absolutely, but I'm talking, you know what I'm saying, I'm talking
yes,
about some people might take that as free rein to just create havoc, but obviously
yes.
it would have to be done.
More reds under the bed.
Yeah, it would have to be done very, you know, in a structured and disciplined way, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if anybody else has got any thoughts on that. If you have, then email us. Email us. No, don't email us, I haven't got my system going. Telephone us. And the phone lines are open. It's 877-876-5277 in the USA, 888-815-9756 in Canada. International callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that international call isn't free. Okay, well, I think this has gone on to a really good subject. I love this, the way when we can just, you know, it just flows nicely.
Yes, yes.
You mentioned impulsive application can be inspirational.
Yes.
Can you explain a little more about that?
Yes, absolutely. The impulsive application is to do with the high presented inspiration coming through of your subconscious, your high consciousness, and your spirit. So this is not about cell memory necessarily, although it may well have inferences of cell memory, perhaps to do with genetics as well. So it's not just something which is purely of a spirit nature, it's also something of your deep-seated cell attraction and the cell conditioning of information which is held therein. So it means to say then that some emotive situations are created through the family compact DNA or genetics to do with perhaps inspirations created through that DNA pattern. DNA is not just something of chemical structure, but is actually also part of the conditioning of contents of the understanding consciousness. So when you want to immortalize something, create something positive out of your state of issuance consciousness, it means that what you are actually creating is sometimes locked into your cell structure. So it's something that you're creating with every fiber of your being on a physical level, but also at the same time it's having an inference, an interplay with your spirit as well. So it means to say that you have, in a sense, these many different energies all working for you when you are very positive. That's why you become elated. It's why you are releasing these great pheromonic changes within you that create the abundance, the revelation, the elevation of yourself, you see, because it's actually a chemical reaction created by the cell structure because it's come alive.
Okay. Yes. All right. So that's the positive aspect.
Yes.
So what happens to us then when we get knocked down? All of a sudden we were going along so well, we were so inspirational, so positive and upbeat, and everything was just rolling along, and we were full of the joys of spring. Everything was going so well. Then one day it all goes wrong.
Yes.
What happens?
It depends entirely upon whether this is a repeated pattern from other situations. Sometimes what you see as a human being are repeated failures, which means that it creates within you a certain circuit pattern. This means to say that what actually happens, what you feel, is a repeat of the condition that you felt last time it happened.
Okay, we actually, all along, deep down, we actually feel that we can't keep this up. This is too good to be true.
Because you don't feel worthy to do that. It's a matter of self-belief, not ego, but just self-belief. Understanding that, yes, you can.
Yes, but deep down we always think, well, this can't carry on.
Yes.
So that's okay for other people.
So it's like corralling yourself within your own negativity.
But I'll go along with it for as long as I can until it does happen.
And then, as soon as it begins to falter, you fall off your bicycle.
Yes, you see? And you say, there you go, I told you that was going to happen.
Yes, I knew that was going to happen.
Okay.
And then the whole situation is crushed. The inspiration is crushed. The application is driven away.
And isn't that a cyclical thing then? Does one have to just ride that out? Or can you? Is there a method that you can actually nip it in the bud as soon as it starts happening? I know it's because most people, this I think is the biggest problem for most people that we talk to.
I do understand that. Most of these situations, my dear friend, are created through the chemical combustion reaction of what then kicks in the pheromonic state to then induce lack of self-belief, to continue that pathway treadmill of already previously recorded behavior, because in many respects, the lack of truth that you have within yourself or understanding of what exactly is happening here then means that for many people, it's like that they become bemused that they didn't see it coming. Whereas in actual fact, it's only come about because they've remembered the previous cycle. So if it was then, my dears, that, should we say then that you come upon a problem given a certain situation? Maybe it's to do with a relationship. Maybe it is that the relationship that you're having at this time with wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it is, just relationship within your family. And so you struggle on within the situation and that you do not really see anything wrong. You try to overcome certain situations as they happen, events as they unfurl, that you are very upbeat and positive and want to be resonant within it and sympathetic and harmonic, and yet you want to move it forward so that it then creates something of abundance, either within your own life or within the relationship or within the family group or whatever it is. Then simply what happens is that someone pulls a spoke from the wheel and the wheel buckles and you buckle. You buckle from, oh no, not again, and you sink. Chemically, you sink. So part of what you have to recognize as a physical being is that you're a chemical being and that the processes that work are simply chemical reactions, like looking in a test tube at a various abundance of various chemicals. And that if you mix the cocktail this way with your thoughts are the spoon and the various ingredients that you're putting into your own cocktail of life. You mix this in to your life, and then lo and behold, you're suddenly bemused by the result. Thoughts are living things. Errant thoughts are living things. Negative ones. Beautiful ones too.
So how much of this can you control with your mind, and at what stage would you say that is, or particular situations, can you not control?
Well, what I am saying, my dear friend, is that eventually it is all controllable. Much of it depends upon your application of that control and how you see it relative to yourself, to your own life.
And how much control? I mean,
yes.
Not complete control.
Well, what is not complete control?
Well, not everybody can be can control, can, like say, if somebody suffered from depression all of their life and... that sort of thing. There are many other names and terms for these illnesses. That's all. Not all of them are going to be able to be controlled by application.
It is possible. It's just that people are not educated to be able to do that. If they do not know, how can you say that they must have the tools? If they have never even seen that toolbox, they've never even written for it, or understand that it's actually available. How are our people, human beings, spirit having a physical existence, ever going to understand how they can control their conscious mind? How can they control the positive beauty within themselves if they simply are unable to fill their well with love? If they are simply unable to rectify the thoughts that they have at this very moment of themselves. They cannot see through those or change that situation. Simply stepping away from it, simply doing that, changes the energy of the thought, allows you space between yourself and that thought, that set of like a repository of negative state and empowerment and drossness.
Well, it's like some people have a negative pattern of thought that they just keep revisiting.
Yes.
But closing those doors is really difficult. For people that actually don't suffer from this situation, they breathe through life and all of the rest of it.
Yes.
Is it because they've actually never experienced this situation of, say, let's say depression anyway?
Yes, but let me just say, friend, part of this actually comes from the fact that what they're always trying to do is come at it from the same place.
Right.
Part of the failure episode happens because the human being is coming at it from the exact same environment. If they are taken out of that environment and look at it from a completely different perspective, they will see more clearly how it is actually controllable simply by putting distance between self and the thoughts and feelings that you had, which create that pathway.
Hmm.
So part of this condition is really about self-conditioning and about what you do with yourself.
Spirit guide's got hiccups. I'm sorry. You hiccuped then, Gregory.
Is that what it was?
Well, something like that, yes. I'm sorry. Anyway.
There was suddenly a malfunction of the airway.
Okay. Let's go back to... But it's all about closing doors, isn't it? It's all about application of the mind and actually being able to close the doors. And can I just go back to my question?
Yes, please.
About somebody that's not ever had any problems with depression.
I understand.
Okay. Is it because they've never even opened the doors to start with that they have no problem with it?
Yes.
So is it... The first time it happens is an important time to actually nip it in the bud, basically.
It is a very important time because it's also to do with circumstances surrounding that. I am well aware that many psychologists will actually root around and dig for those circumstances to begin with to see how it became validated in that mind and in the consciousness, because it's all very much to do with the field of environment that was created at the time that bring links to various episodes within the physical body, within the chemistry of the physical body, and the reactive states of mind and therefore ensuing pathways created from it. The whole point is, I'm saying that even if this is chronic, a chronic problem, or something which is just first born, the reasons that situations become so caustic and depreciative are simply because the application is not made. The way that you see yourself is then, it then becomes immersed, governed by the attitude of mind, governed by the conscious action, governed by the chemical interaction of your physical being from the conscious state.
Yeah, okay. But if believing your own personal development is critical to your success...
That you can.
That you can do it.
Yes.
There's the rub there, isn't it?
Yes.
You can.
Yes.
You see, because people say, I try and I try and I try, and I always seem to end up at the same place.
Yes, but oftentimes, dear friend, these people try and try and try when they're in the same environment, living in the same environment. And what they need to do is to have courage and also sometimes help to overcome that present environment, change it completely, even if it means that they're still stuck in the same house, but actually they change the color of the walls. Something as simple as that. Change the artifacts, throw away all of the furniture and get something completely different. Make a different environment will change the mind. So in respect of this, so many of the situations are lost to oblivion simply because situations are not changed within the home environment to bring about change within the conscious state. because there is no longer the reference remaining of what clinically brought it about in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then, unless it is treated properly and shepherded properly, it's even not going to work if you then do not actually treat that situation properly or holistically, but simply move the patient to another place and then just not actually address the conditions of the mind therein. Is just going to be completely worthless. And then they'll say, oh yes, you see, it doesn't work. I moved the client from one place to out of their present environment and put them somewhere else, but it still didn't work. No, of course it didn't work, because you didn't do the right consultation or clinical work on the conscious mind in order to make it work. It's exactly the same, my dear friend, as if you had a person with a chronic pain problem, management problem. It's management of the conscious mind that is at fault. The pain site is oftentimes long past. Exactly the same that you are left with is the condition of memory, and exactly the same as a haunted house.
Go on.
Well, the haunted house is oftentimes a situation of cyclical memory, either tied into particular times of the month, day, or year. It may well be that they are cyclical memories because which are added by birthdays or Christmases or other celebratory performances in life, and that these then continue to anchor the problem within the state of the fabric of the house itself. So there it is, you have then a spirit manifestation which actually isn't there because it's non-reactive, and that's exactly the same, is it not? That's what happened to chronic pain. You're shoveling these people full of pills to try to combat their pain management, and it's not even touching it. And it isn't touching it because it's not there. It's purely it's not psychosomatic. It is a situation, a condition, which is brought about by the subconscious infiltration of the condition, which is something which is brought about purely and simply by the repetitive state of it. And so the way to create a move around it is in exactly the same as you would perhaps take that person to go and play with dolphins or something like that, or perhaps to put them in a completely different environment, like water, and make it so that they cannot even feel themselves. To do exercises within that environment is actually creating a different pathway mechanically through the synapse, which then tries to bridge the pain gate mechanisms so that they actually close properly the way that they should do.
Without any application of mind involved in that?
It's not necessarily a willful application of mind on the surface, but is actually very subtle. Because you're changing the environment so successfully and creating as well a beautiful language structure linked to it, so the therapist would be saying something in very calming, loving tones to that human being, willing them forward, willing them out and away from the chronic state of what they're feeling. You get them into a state where they don't feel any pain. And then you get them to dwell in those moments of no pain, even if it's just for a few minutes, but to actually make that a personal quality achievement enables that being to see there are times and positions that they presented which did not hold the same agonies. And it is those times which are then cauterized, if you like, into the system. And they're created in that way by a very deep and personal experience. So they have to be done in a very full way. So it has to be probably anything, even up to maybe 2 or 3 therapies a day, would actually then enable, over a period of a week, to totally transform that person's life. And it's not a situation of an actual therapy which is still in the making. I'm saying that it would actually work. The point is that people simply drop the ball too quickly.
Mm.
The patient feels, because of regurgitative pain, memory and negativity from their previous thought, that it's still there. And what they need to have is courage to understand that they can move away from it. Yes.
Oh, hello. We have a caller. Hello.
Hi, Sylvie. This is John from Indiana. How are you doing?
My friend, I believe
hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sylvie.
Oh, hi. Is that John?
Yes, it is.
Hello, John.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friend. Hello.
My question, and this is a very interesting but painful subject we're talking about, but can pain sometimes bring out the best in someone? Like some artists, like Vincent van Gogh, lived their whole life in anguish, and other people too, and it seems like that was necessary for them to become great.
Interesting, very interesting.
Yes, absolutely so, and of course, continued then to bring great inspiration to others. The point, however, of course, was that oftentimes these people within themselves were not necessarily going through the best time of it, even in the greatest works that they created. That doesn't mean to say that you always have to go through great negativity in order to bring about beautiful pieces and beautiful inspiration within the work itself. Oftentimes I understand that within Vincent himself, his whole life characterization was one of emergent. That is, that he was a creative colorist. And it means that even though the situations that he created were fractured when looked at in very close up, it was actually to do with power that was created upon the canvas itself, but that it was only ever seen as a whole from the right perspective at a certain specific distance. And this was what created such a beautiful lineage from that kind of display of both color and the way that he actually put things together. I understand, dear friend, that his whole situation to do with that was actually because part of his understanding within color and the therapies of it has often meant that if you, for example, ask an autistic child to look at a Van Gogh painting, you will see that child's expression change to a very great degree. Their interpretation of it as well is something that needs to be brought out, that needs to be looked at, because you will find it very interesting how that person's understanding and intellect of it is something completely different maybe to your own and to many other people's.
Do autistic children have a particular understanding of pain that we don't see that might be more accurate?
Well, I would not say particularly about pain, my dear friend, but certainly they have a different balance. That's what it is. Autistic children have generally a monosyllabic balance, which is not necessarily of the same weighing vehicles of expression that you have. Human states of mind are very, very complex in nature, and the spirit is even more complex than that. So it means to say that it's not actually a battle within self, but within an autistic child, it's much more simplistic because they don't have the complications of everything coming at them from all directions, although some, I understand, do, particularly with certain states of connectivity that they have perhaps going on with them physically, means that there are certain parts they simply don't connect with or don't see.
Mm. Oh, John, time's beaten us, I'm afraid.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, but thanks ever so much. That's really interesting. And do call again next week. I think we'll probably continue on with this.
Yes, I think so, particularly with the autistic situation,
exactly.
Because that is extremely important.
Yes, and that's a large
subject.
For many
people to understand, yes. Enormous,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, very well.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so,
and
my
thank
dear
you, Gregory.
John. Thank you so. Thank you so, little bird. Thank you. Thank you to Don Newsom, too. Thank you so, my friend. And with love and light and blessings be abounded within your journeys, dear friend. Thank you so, with love and light.
Goodbye. Okay, well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. And thank you so much for listening to Spirit's Work, and I'm Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.